Get to these. Let's look at these two verses here in Romans chapter 1. We'll read verses 16 and 17. Looking at these five solas, and we'll explain what that means. This is what the Apostle Paul writes through the outbreathing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we lift up our bodies, our hearts, our souls to you, asking that you would fill us with this important food for us. In Christ's name, amen. Around 1515, just about 502 years ago, Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk, had just gotten his doctorate in theology, and he was then and now a professor of theology at the University of Wittenberg in Germany. And he had been lecturing through the Psalms, and back then they didn't have this kind of semester system. When they were lecturing through books of the Bible, they would just go until they finished, and then they would start with something new. Well, Martin Luther began then preparing to lecture through the Paul's letter to the Romans. And as he was preparing his series of lectures, he was struggling with his own standing before God, and he had been doing that really his whole life. He couldn't reconcile the fact that a righteous God could be in the same room or could exist with unrighteous human beings. He was questioning how a righteous God could make unrighteous people righteous in his sight. Or maybe to put it another way, if God were really just in his dealings with sinful man, how could anyone be saved? We all rightfully deserve eternal damnation. Well, as he was preparing these lectures, he came to these two verses very early on in his study. And he stopped at this last sentence in verse 17, "The righteous shall live by faith." And that's a statement that comes from the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament. It's a statement that is quoted here in Romans, it's quoted in Galatians, it's also quoted in Hebrews. But this statement puzzled Martin Luther, so he studied more. And he came to the realization that the righteousness that Paul was speaking of in this letter was not a righteousness in man. It's not God making man righteous. It is a declaration of righteousness from God. God can declare human beings righteous or right in God's eyes, righteous on the basis of their faith in Jesus Christ, because only Jesus Christ himself was righteous. And Luther believed this truth. He trusted Christ for salvation, and he was saved. Well, for the next 2 years, he studied and he studied and became increasingly convicted that the teachings of his own church, the Roman Catholic Church, their teachings were seriously flawed. Not only was their teaching wrong, their practices were corrupt as well. And he began to realize that their practices really were as a result of their faulty teaching. You know who this is, and you probably know what this event is. So on October 31st, 1517, 500 years ago, Martin Luther posted these 95 theses. They're really 95 points of contention against the Pope and against the Roman Catholic Church. They were meant to be talking points. And he was simply posting them on the chapel door of Wittenberg Cathedral in the Wittenberg Castle. And the door itself really was the community bulletin board. He was posting them not really to say, hey, I want to start a reformation. No, that was not on his mind. He was really saying, can anybody join me on a particular day at a particular time to talk through these things? But some of his students got a hold of that document. They took it to a Gutenberg printing press, and they printed up lots of copies and distributed them. And the Great Reformation, or what we know as the Great Reformation, was sparked. And from there it took off and it spread through all of Europe and indeed, from our perspective, the rest of the world. We call ourselves Protestants, not because we hold picket signs up and protest government agencies. We call ourselves Protestants because protest or protestation simply means to witness forward. And we witness God's true word against false doctrine and false theology. And the motto for the Reformation really became that we are justified by faith alone. The Roman Catholic Church believed then, and they still believe right now, quite frankly, as testified in their own catechisms, that we are justified by faith and works. But the Reformation doctrine of justification has to include that word alone. We are made righteous, we are declared righteous in God's sight by faith alone. We're saved not by the church. We're saved not by tradition, not by good works, not by observing the sacraments. We are saved by faith in Christ alone. And that truth was so crucial for these reformers, and it wasn't just Martin Luther, it was a whole host of men and women who carried these doctrines out into the world. And it was so crucial for them that over these years they delineated five key theological principles. We call them guardrails, so that never again would the doctrine of justification be tainted by the idea that there's anything other than faith in Christ that saves us. Later, these were named the five solas. Solus really is the Latin word for only or alone. So we're going to look at those five solas today, and probably we'll continue to look at them next week as well. We're going to look at these five solas, five guardrails that set the boundaries for what true Christianity is. Now, why is this so important? Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How can we possibly know the truth if we're believing a lie? We have to preach the truth. So for the first one reason why this is so important, because this is the truth, and we must know this. But for other reasons, and among other things, this is important for us to know and understand, because we have to know what the doctrine of salvation is, and we also have to know what the doctrine of salvation is not. This is getting back to the basics, getting back to the fundamentals. So in 1961, Vince Lombardi, coach of the Green Bay Packers, held up the pigskin at the first day of training in the summer of 1961. He held up the pigskin in front of his team, and he said, gentlemen, what did he say? This is a football. He learned the importance of mastering the fundamentals, and that was his motto ever since. We have to master the fundamentals. We have to know what salvation is. We have to know what salvation is not. And sadly, many Protestants today do not really grasp what salvation is, what defines true Christianity. Because Christianity stands or falls on our doctrine of salvation. So what makes us Christians? Let's look at these five solas, these five guardrails that define true Christianity. We're going to look at them one by one. Five statements that set the boundaries for what it means to be a Christian. First of all, we are saved according to Scripture alone. This is the principle of sola scriptura. It's a Latin phrase that means Scripture alone. It's where we get this nickname, the five solas. We are saved according to Scripture alone. See, the Reformers believe that God's Word is inerrant. They believe that God's Word is infallible. They believe that God's Word has ultimate authority over every area of our life. And the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of our own salvation, must draw only from the Scriptures. We can't allow tradition to seep in. We can't allow our own experience to seep in, or human reason to seep in. Salvation is defined only by what the Scriptures say. And if anything that is in our doctrine of salvation contradicts what is said in the Scriptures, it has to be false. The Scriptures are our sole authority. They're our sole authority because they are God's written word. God Himself breathed these Scriptures into life, and He worked through human beings. And because of that, they have authority over every area of our life. Paul talks about the supernatural character of the Scriptures when he says this to Timothy: all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Everything we need to live in this life has been given to us. Peter himself says in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures are indeed human writing because human beings wrote down the Scriptures, which means we have to interpret the Scriptures as we would interpret any other human writing. But the Scriptures are not just human writing. They are supernatural. And because they're supernatural and breathed out by God, they hold authority over our lives that no other human document, human institution can possibly hold over our lives. They are supernatural. And they constitute, and that constitutes the difference between God's Word and all other human writing. In fact, when Paul reminds the Corinthians of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he states that Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised in accordance with the Scriptures. See, our doctrine of salvation must be drawn solely from God's Word. Now, this separates us from all groups that derive their concept of salvation from any other source other than the Bible. It also separates us from all those who deny the infallibility or truthfulness or authority of the Scriptures. It eliminates Mormonism, because they add the Book of Mormon, some human writing that was produced by the will of man. It separates us from Jehovah's Witness, because they do exactly the same thing. It separates us from theological liberalism. Theological liberalism is that movement starting in the late 1600s, 1700s, coming to fruition in the 1800s, and highly influencing the mainline denominations in the 20th century. The idea that we can take liberties with the Scriptures. So every one of the mainline denominations, United Methodism, American Baptist Church, Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Church, Lutheran Church of America, all of these, the American Episcopal Church, all of these have been tainted by theological liberalism. The idea that the scriptures aren't really as authoritative as many had given them credit for, that we can take liberties with them. They are excluded from this, and only those within those denominations that believe this can really qualify or really be considered true Christians. Now, we recognize that there may be Christians. There may be whole congregations within these liberal denominations that trust the scriptures alone. But as a whole, those denominations have been tainted by theological liberalism. We are saved according to scriptures alone. Well, secondly, we are saved through faith alone. This is the principle of sola fide. Sola fide, faith alone. Paul tells the Romans this: therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures set their own boundaries for what scripture, for what salvation is. And the reformers simply took that and began teaching it. The first guardrail, scripture alone. The second guardrail, faith alone. Anyone who believes that we are saved by anything other than faith alone is corrupt in their teaching. See, Paul had taught the Romans that no one can be justified in God's sight in and of themselves. And certainly no one can be justified by works, by being a good person, by going to the right church, by doing the right things. To be justified, to be saved, means that we are counted righteous by God outside of anything we've ever done. It's an alien righteousness, a righteousness that is outside of ourselves. See, we meet His standards of righteousness only because of Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. In Romans chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul teaches Abraham that Paul teaches the Romans that Abraham could not have been justified by works. And he uses this example from Genesis 15:6. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham simply said, God, I am wrong, you are right. Abraham could not possibly produce a child on his own. He needed God's intervention in order to do that. And Abraham simply believed the word that God had spoken. And on the basis of that faith, God counted him, or considered him, declared him righteous. See, this separates us from all those who teach that salvation depends on self-effort or self-improvement or working or following certain rules or observing certain sacraments or doing good deeds. And this eliminates Roman Catholicism. It eliminates Judaism as it exists today. It eliminates Islam, because they all have as their official teaching something has to be done in order for God to be satisfied with us, that we have to do something. And that's wrong. Again, there may be believing Christians in the Roman Catholic Church, but the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is corrupt, because they say, well, you got to be confirmed, you got to take your first communion, you got to take your you have to have baptism in order to be regenerated, and you have to take the sacraments, and at the end of your life you have to have the rites set over you. You have to do these things, and by the end of your life, if all these things take place, you will be justified. They have justification and sanctification flipped. And because of that, many people are going to hell because they're believing Roman Catholic teaching. And we have to stand up and say, no, this is the right teaching. We are saved according to Scripture alone. We are saved by faith alone. Next week, Lord willing, we'll go over third, fourth, and fifth. We are saved by grace alone. We're saved in Christ alone, and we're saved for God's glory alone. Think about those things. Revel in the fact that you don't have to work for your salvation. Revel in the fact that God has given you His Word, and whatever you find in His Word is reliable and trustworthy. You can stand on God's Word for your salvation. You don't have to wonder whether or not you're going to be saved in the end. You can know that you are saved simply because God has given us His Word, and you can have faith in God through that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. We're so thankful that we have Jesus Christ and that You have created faith in us so that we can simply believe what You say. On the basis of that, we know we are saved. We know we will never be separated from Christ. Father, if there's someone here today who has not yet come to that conclusion, does not yet believe that, Father, I pray that You would open their eyes like You opened Lydia's eyes. You opened her heart to pay attention to the gospel. I pray that You would open blind eyes to see the truth that comes from Your Word. In Jesus' name,